So the vision is more of like the Barstool Sports of Finance, to try to bring, you know, financial topics, Bitcoin, all that kind of stuff back to a friendly level where we can kind of discuss and everything like that. And it's more fun, but really like deep and insightful as well. So it's less intimidating for the common man, by the common man.
Welcome to the Business Bitcoinization Show, the show dedicated to helping you enrich your life and grow your business with Bitcoin, the hardest money on planet Earth. I'm your host, Josh Friedemann, and our guest today is Brandon Keys of Green Candle Investments. We're going to be talking about his media business, as well as some actionable tips for growing your business from the ground up. And we're going to get to that interview right after this. Business owners, unlock the benefits Bitcoin has to offer your business with the Bitcoin for Business Quick Start Guide. This 27-page guide highlights the 6 ways you can grow your business with Bitcoin. Check it out in the show notes. Brandon, welcome to the podcast.
Josh, thanks so much for having me, man. I'm excited to be here.
So I'd like to start off every single interview with a few questions that help us to get to know you a little bit better and give us some insight for our own lives. Are you ready for these?
Yeah, let's do it.
Question one is this: when and how did you first learn about Bitcoin?
Yeah, so I first started learning about Bitcoin probably 2016 to 2018 time. I was in grad school. So I guess a little backstory before that, I ran track and cross country in college. So why that's important to this story is because I had a big class above me. So I think it was like 6 or 7 sophomores when I was a freshman. Then we all graduated and went to different grad schools across the country. But to keep in touch, we all kept this group message. So in graduate school, I decided to start to drive Uber to get a little bit of extra beer money on the side. So I'll go out one night, I'll drive Uber the other night. And I wanted to make this money go farther. And I realized, hey, in a short period of time, I'm going to start making some actual money, which I've never made before in my life. So I need to figure out what to do with it. So I started listening to a bunch of podcasts. I listened to We Study Billionaires, Preston Pish. So shout out to him. This was before he had the Bitcoin only show. He had Saifedean and Plan B on back to back weeks. Wow. And so I was like, okay, well, what is this Bitcoin thing? Plan B tells me it's going to 100K. And then I had another personal finance podcast mention Bitcoin. So I'm like, all right, this can't be a coincidence. I need to start looking into this. So I started trading it on Robinhood with Dogecoin too. So, I mean, everybody gets into the kind of the shitcoinery stuff. But, you know, I was able to kind of keep learning about it. And then after I graduated, in December 2018, that's when I knew, you know, that's just keep buying with every paycheck and that'll help me figure out whatever I want to do in life. So very grateful for Bitcoin and everything it has brought for me. But yeah, just kind of the driving Uber and listening to podcasts, man. Mm-hmm.
So follow-up question here. I usually don't ask follow-ups, but I find myself saying that more and more because sometimes it's interesting to know like why people took action. Because a lot of people might hear a podcast or whatever else and not take action. Is there a reason that you can identify why it's like, why did it actually connect with you in particular?
That's a good question. To me, I am a very action-oriented guy, I would say. If I say something, I'm really going to do it. And I think it's just kind of like the discipline aspect. So I was actually talking about this on another show. It's like, you know, with cross country and track, like long distance running, for anybody that's done it, you need to show up every single day to basically get in shape. It takes like 3 or 4 months to get into like good race shape. And then, you know, after 1 or 2 weeks of just taking it off, you're out of shape again. So, you know, it takes a lot of consistency to build things up. And then, you know, if you just kind of like stop, it doesn't take long to lose it all. So I really take that with life where whatever it is, I need to really start working towards it and just kind of consistently keep doing the same thing, get into like a routine about it. you know, I wouldn't say I'm like fully routine oriented where I do the same thing every single day or during the week. But when I realize something's important, I try to, you know, really stress and get into it almost as like a routine where, you know, I'm just kind of consistently doing the same thing, whether it's, you know, working on Green Candle or buying Bitcoin or saving or, you know, doing something with my finances, kind of analyzing it that way. I usually dedicate like some hours of every single day to do something along those lines where I think it could help me benefit in the long run. You know what they say, right? Get 1% better every single day. I kind of take that message to heart, and I really try to do something to, you know, whether that's listen to some sort of educational material, something to kind of push myself every single day.
Yeah. Great. So question number two is, what's an insight or fact about Bitcoin that you wish everyone understood?
I don't know if it's necessarily about Bitcoin. I wish it was more, what I think about it is more about the transaction fees with like Visa and MasterCard. Mm-hmm. So I don't think everybody realizes that when you swipe your card, there's like a 3-7% fee if you've got American Express on the merchants. So utilizing Bitcoin, you know, with the small transaction fees on the Lightning Network and how quick it can be, I think that is extremely valuable. And I think that the minimal amount of fees on Bitcoin from sending it from peer to peer utilizing the Lightning Network is kind of like my end round of like, hey, this could be so much cheaper for everybody involved across the globe. And it's truly the, you know, the best digital cash payment system peer to peer, right? So that can be used. And I think that's just absolutely revolutionary. Obviously, we can go down the list of, you know, the decentralization aspect, how governments can't stop it, you know, utilizing energy, all these different kind of things. But I think like at its core, what can help every single person is utilizing the Lightning Network and the ability to transact with a lot of money with very little fees. So I think that is going to be the groundbreaking technology behind Bitcoin. And hopefully everybody kind of gets on board with that here pretty soon.
Yeah. Question number three, what's the Bitcoin resource you most recommend to other people?
Yeah, so I think I've kind of changed my tune on this. At first, I would have said the Bitcoin Standard, but I had a buddy with me who's here in Nashville with me now, and he said, you know, because a lot of my friends in Tampa, Florida are, I would say they're like 90% of the way there. They realize that you know, the food is very messed up. You know, it's a lot of additives, everything like that. You know, what they tell you in the medical field might not necessarily be the best thing for you initially. But, you know, there's a lot of different things that have basically been fed to us throughout our entire lives that are not necessarily like true information, right? So, what I recommend now is like the sovereign individual to kind of, you know, realize like, hey, you don't necessarily need the government. You know, it's more of like a libertarian book and kind of telling yourself to be how powerful it can be to be a sovereign individual, how to be self-sovereign, you know, entrepreneurial kind of stuff. Go through it on that aspect to see if that really resonates with them, because that's kind of how it resonated with me and how I've kind of gotten down the Bitcoin rabbit hole. And I think that would be the first step. Then maybe, you know, then you read the Bitcoin Standard after that, because, you know, I mean, I think most people don't really get into like the economics books or economics just topics in general, unless they're like super driven to make more money or figure out things about money. And that was kind of my drive towards it, but I've realized like, I'm kind of a weird guy. majority of people are probably looking for, you know, more just like the freedom stuff. And I think everybody can resonate with that, especially, you know, after what just happened and, you know, just 4 short years ago. Mm-hmm.
So this next question takes us outside of Bitcoin, and some of your answers already in a sense are a little bit outside of Bitcoin, but to kind of shine light on why Bitcoin is so beneficial. But this next question is, beyond Bitcoin, what's a resource, tool, or idea that's been helpful to you or your work with Green Candle or other projects recently?
Yeah, so beyond Bitcoin, the resources and tools, I just kind of look at, you know, I mean, when you sent me this question, I was thinking about it, and the way I structure Green Candle is kind of like the Barstool Sports of Finance is how I like to, you know, tell people about it. And the resources that I use are more of, I guess, like what I listen to, like a bunch of different other podcasts. Like I listen to like the Barstool ones. I listen to some educational ones. I listen to, you know, I still listen to Preston's podcast. I listen to some of these other Bitcoin podcasts. I think what Bitcoiners need to do to kind of help spread that message is realize what is popular outside of the Bitcoin space in order to bring those tactics into the Bitcoin space. So, I mean, this is kind of a roundabout answer, but I listen to a lot of different things like the, you know, what's popular, like the Nelk Boys, you know, Barstool, all these people who kind of come out and seeing what their message is at the core. Sometimes like it's more comedic effect, but at the end they donate to some cause and they raise a lot of money for these things. So a lot of philanthropic stuff that people really resonate with. But, you know, you could take it a step further and do it with like a Bitcoin undertone. I think that could be extremely powerful. So, I mean, I mentioned the Sovereign Individual already. I think that's like a big book for me, just kind of like outside of the Bitcoin space, The Creature of Jekyll Island, like all these kind of books that are just in around are around the Bitcoin space and kind of interconnected in a sense. But I also think like utilizing and looking at content to see how we could bring these things and why they're popular in the fiat space instead of just, you know, pushing them to the side and being like, oh, that's, you know, whatever it is, it's getting drunk and girls and whatever, it's too fiat, whatever it is. I think like if you could kind of utilize that and think about how you could bring that, those aspects that people think are funny or whatever, enjoy, bring those in to Bitcoin content. And that's how we could pull more people in. Because I think financial content in general can be a lot really intimidating to a lot of people. And I think that, you know, in a sense, once you kind of bring humor into it, people's barriers get down and then maybe they're a little bit more open to learning. And so that's where I think, you know, us as a Bitcoin space, like myself included, we can do a lot better job and to try to bring in more Bitcoiners and bring in more people. So I've been, yeah, thinking about it a lot lately, especially with a lot of my friends in Tampa, to see how I can bring them over to the other side. Because like I said, I think a lot of them are like 90% of the way there. They just don't realize that the solution is Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm. Well, now we have our final, what we call our arbitrary but insightful question, and it's this. As a general life principle, is it better to ask why or why not?
I would say why. And the reason why I think it's why is because I think it's just always, you know, the rule of thumb is better to ask for forgiveness, not permission. But I think just question everything, right? So I wouldn't always try to play like devil's advocate and go on the other side, just question why they're doing things. And you can, you know, determine why not on your own other side, right? You can kind of, figure that out. Like, why is somebody doing something? Because I think, you know, everybody has, free roam, right? Or, I can't even think of the word right now, but, you know, freedom of speech, like, why are they saying these things? Like, you know, and I think it's just kind of easier to question everything as why people are doing things, why they're moving the way they're moving, why they're interacting with all these different things. You know, why they're focusing on this, why they're focusing on Bitcoin, why they're focusing on their finances. I think really finding out somebody's why about whatever action it is way more insightful than like, why aren't they doing these things? Because usually the why aren't they doing that or why not is more of just like a limiting factor, I think, in your mind. I think everybody can do whatever they want to do. That includes like goals, whatever. I think it's just a big limiting factor for people is just their perception of themselves, like what they think that they can achieve. So asking somebody why can kind of get to the root of that and see, you know, why they're moving the way they are. And maybe you can help them open up something deep inside of them or whatever. But I also think that, that's a way to, yeah, kind of figure out things that's going on and at the root and really get to know, you know, the way that they're thinking.
Today's episode of Business Bitcoinization is proudly brought to you by Velus Commerce, where the future of business technology meets Bitcoin. As we journey through the era of Bitcoin and its transformational impact on businesses, there's one name that stands out. Velus Commerce. Whether you're looking to build a cutting-edge website, a seamless mobile app, or custom software, Velus is your go-to team. They've been diving deep into the world of Bitcoin since 2014, making them one of the most experienced groups for integrating Bitcoin and Lightning payments into a variety of digital platforms. But here's what truly sets them apart. Velus Commerce doesn't just build. They bring a wealth of knowledge to ensure your project's success from day one. Their team understands the nuances of Bitcoin, ensuring that your business stays ahead of the curve. And for all business Bitcoinization listeners out there, Velus Commerce is offering a free consultation to kickstart your project the right way. So if you're ready to future-proof your business in the coming age of hyper-Bitcoinization, head over to veluscommerce.com or reach out on Twitter at Velus Commerce. Let's make sure your business thrives in the Bitcoin era. If you were hit by a bus right now, could your family access your Bitcoin? When's the right time to stop hodling and use Bitcoin to impact your family's lives, not just yours? What if Bitcoin doesn't reach the value you expect, or it takes longer to reach that value? Do you have a plan? Do you have the proper trust structure to avoid probate, maintain your privacy, and minimize taxes? Do you want to avoid taxes to stack more sats or leverage your stack without selling? Should you add Bitcoin to your business's balance sheet? Are you truly confident in your self-custody setup? If any of those questions made you stop and think, you probably realize that simply buying and holding Bitcoin is not a complete financial plan. That's where Strong Wealth comes in. Orange-pilled advisors blending traditional financial planning with deep Bitcoin expertise, giving you the best of both worlds, so you can sleep peacefully knowing you're making the right moves for your family no matter what happens. Schedule a free call at strongwealth.net. That's strongwealth.net. Strong Wealth, wealth management for Bitcoiners by Bitcoiners. So, Brandon, we're here today to talk about your involvement in the Bitcoin space, primarily through Green Candle Investments. That's probably the best place to start, and we can maybe delve into some other areas from there. We were talking before, I was saying, I think a lot of people probably have seen you around on at least Bitcoin Twitter. Maybe hopped into one of your spaces or any other number of things. But I don't know how many people have kind of looked deeper into what you're doing. It's like they see you there, they follow you. But like, kind of what's your vision for the company? What have you been doing? And what are you looking to do in the future?
Yeah, so the vision I mentioned a little bit earlier, but it's more of like the Barstool Sports of Finance, to try to bring financial topics, Bitcoin, all that kind of stuff back to down to a lower level where people can, I guess lower level isn't a great way to word it, but more of a friendly level where we can kind of discuss and everything like that. And it's more fun financial topics, but really like deep and insightful as well. So it's less intimidating for the common man, by the common man kind of stuff, because I don't have a financial background. So, where it's at right now is I have the State of Bitcoin podcast, the Macro Insights podcast. So State of Bitcoin, obviously all about Bitcoin. I bring in guests from all aspects to kind of give everybody a wider range of what's going on. It's not really super pointed, I would say. But trying to understand, how Bitcoin can affect people in all areas, whether it's mining, like the Lightning Network, just general like macro, how people kind of dive into it that way. And then the Macro Insights, I have, real estate, stock market, people are hedge fund managers, macro guys, energy, all that, to kind of give an overarching view of what's going on, because I think it's all interconnected. It's those two things for me kind of help me stay level with Bitcoin, because I think, everybody's like in the Bitcoin space, like, why don't you see this yet? We've gone down the rabbit hole. This should be the full solution here. Like, let's, get after it kind of thing. But I think everybody in the normie world is still kind of there, right? They're still like trying to figure out what a solution can be, because a lot of them realize something is wrong. And the current way things are might not necessarily make 100% sense, but they're trying to make sense of it. But I think that they're all very intelligent on both sides, and you can learn a lot from each people instead of just yelling at each other like, hey, it's Bitcoin and whatever. So what I want to do with Green Candle is kind of continue that and expand it, where I can get more people in different financial areas, all with having kind of a Bitcoin undertone. Once you get curious about figuring out about your money, whether it's real estate or, investing in the stock market, just kind of wherever that person's at, kind of get them curious about Bitcoin to realize like, hey, like, okay, you know, this guy has a real estate show, but also a Bitcoin show. Why don't I check out the Bitcoin show and just kind of see, you know, what it's all about, and kind of just, you know, bringing in more people into the Bitcoin space, making them realize like, hey, this is what's the matter with the 2% inflation target, with all these different things, right? So kind of opening some people's eyes as to what the current issues are just going on, man, and get them to question a lot of things and open up to the idea of Bitcoin. And yeah, man, just kind of make it easy and accessible to people, kind of be over there and be a trusted voice. And you know, I know there's great content makers all over the space as well. So, you know, if they can see my content and then get curious and dive into some other guys, you know, maybe Simply Bitcoin or BTC Session, some of these other guys, I think that would be great, you know, kind of keep everybody orange-pilled and keep everything moving in that direction. So, you know, things have been rapidly growing for me here in the past like 8 or 9 months. So hopefully, knock on wood, I can take this thing full time and keep bringing more content to everybody here around the space and helping orange pill more and more people.
Yeah. So I want to get to the business side and what has led to this growth that you've experienced over the last 8 or 9 months in a few minutes. But first of all, you know, it sounds like you're sort of like bridging this gap or divide between Bitcoiners and a more like TradFi world, perhaps. How have you seen things change? You started in 2021, is that right?
Yeah. So I started Green Candle April 21.
Yeah. So since 2021, how have you kind of seen things change? And this could be positively or negatively. My assumption is that things have taken a positive turn. But kind of how have things changed, especially between these two groups and people's openness to maybe considering Bitcoin more seriously?
Yeah, it's a great question. So initially, you know, it was not even worth having the conversation. There was just like yelling, screaming back and forth. Now people kind of listen to it a little bit more. I mean, I still get hate comments on the macro stuff, so calling me a butt coiner and all that kind of stuff. You know, for the most part, you know, some of them just don't really see it. They don't see the like Keynesian economics kind of aspect of it. Yeah, I mean, like that's just kind of like they think it's crazy. They're more tame about it now, but like with the ETFs, we've definitely had more traditional financial people kind of come over to the Bitcoin side and get into that. But there's still a long way to go. I mean, like although with the ETFs, I think that, you know, the perception's like, oh, traditional finance is all in on Bitcoin. That's not really the case. I think it's like every hedge fund maybe has like a little bit of Bitcoin. But, you know, the big dogs are the ones that are really just scooping up a lot of it. There's like, you know, 5 or 6, I think, big traditional hedge funds that are really dumping in a lot of money into the Bitcoin spot ETFs. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the family offices, that kind of aspect, are not. And so I don't think retail's into the spot ETF yet either. So I think like we're moving in a good direction, and I've definitely seen more of a positive tone when it comes to speaking about Bitcoin, but I still think we're a long ways away. I still think we're early. You know, traditional financial people still don't even really know about Bitcoin and don't really have a desire to learn about it. I mean, I've got some buddies who, you know, manage money for other people, and they don't really know much about Bitcoin yet still. So I think, you know, and they don't really need to at this point, right? Unless like their clientele starts asking them for it. So, you know, I think as more retail gets curious, and like, to be honest, like the biggest driver is going to be number go up. So, you know, if we start to see Bitcoin, I don't know what it's at today, maybe 65 or something. If we start to see Bitcoin rip and get to 100K, or Trump, you know, in Nashville announced that Bitcoin as like a reserve asset, you know, I mean, then I think people are going to get more curious. But like, we need big events like that to get more people in like the traditional financial space to get into Bitcoin. But it's definitely moving in a positive direction. So I'm not trying to say like, they're not even here yet, because obviously they are. There wouldn't be so much buying of the Bitcoin spot ETFs if there wasn't, but there's still a lot of money left to be left out there to scoop up Bitcoin. So I think that we're moving in a good direction, but we're not even close to like full-time, full-fledged adoption here yet.
Yeah. So I'm also curious to know how you view investments, because obviously your company's name is Green Candle Investments, plural. How do you look at Bitcoin and maybe the traditional finance or other sides of things, real estate, et cetera, et cetera? How do you like to think about investing? I don't know how much you want to share about your personal investments, and I don't know how much personal investment advice you want to give to other people, but I'd just be interested to hear you talk about how you think through some of these things, especially as someone who's much more interested in Bitcoin, who considers himself a Bitcoiner, as opposed to the more TradFi world.
Yeah. So, I mean, I obviously not financial advice. I think everything, everybody has a different situation. So it's kind of like how you want to set up your life. And I think everybody should really take a step back before doing any of this and kind of realize your own personal goals in order to determine your investment strategy, what you're doing with your money. Because at the end of the day, your money is just an exchange, or time is just an exchange for money, right? At a certain point. So what do you want to do with that? How do you want to, do you want to create a business? Do you want to, just have passive, flows coming in, like all that kind of stuff, I think can be really important. So personally, what I do is I just, with every paycheck, I buy Bitcoin or I invest into Green Candle at this point. So I haven't been buying as much as I used to be buying, but I was at a certain point in time. Then outside of that, I have like two rental properties. So I live in a duplex, Airbnb, the other unit, and kind of that covers the mortgage. And then, that house appreciated so much that I was able to utilize that equity to buy another rental property. And so like with all that, like I kind of see real estate as like a very, in the US, as a very powerful tool to, one is like big tax breaks. So I know like a lot of Bitcoiners think real estate's a shitcoin and all that. And, I completely get it, right? I mean, it's a depreciating asset. It doesn't make so much sense. But to me, I view it as like shorting the dollar and getting some cash flow coming in, because the one problem with Bitcoin right now in the US is, you can buy as much Bitcoin as you want, but when you sell it, you're going to have to probably pay some capital gains tax when you transaction in it. It's not exactly the easiest thing in the world to account for and everything like that. I mean, but I pay editors and all that kind of stuff in Bitcoin. So, I mean, I do it and deal with it. But I'm looking at the cash flow aspect from real estate and then the saving and investing aspect in Bitcoin. And I think if I'm able to invest and hold Bitcoin for 5 years, I think that's, the best outlook and best return on my investment that I could potentially get. But I want to have that steady cash flow coming in because, if I want to be a full-fledged entrepreneur, right? Like it's all up to me at that point, creating content, videos, all that kind of stuff. Well, what if something happens? What if I get sick or something like that? Like I still need another source of income to fall back on. And that's where I kind of see the real estate aspect of it. But I mean, I also, with the real estate, I have some plans to potentially, utilize Bitcoin miners in the water heaters, utilize Bitcoin miners to, maybe make a hot tub for the Airbnb, those kind of things. So I'll still be like utilizing those homes to stack. It's just, that's kind of like a deeper down the line project, where I think, that's kind of my overall strategy, just real estate for the cash flow. And then, businesses that I'm creating for the sats flow.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So, the next thing is talking about sort of your business model with Green Candle and the growth you've seen across the last 8 or 9 months, as you said. First of all, kind of what would you attribute to that growth? What are some things? I don't know how many people who are listening to this have content businesses, but I think a lot of people kind of struggle with that. When do I invest in the business versus make sure I have enough money in the bank? Some of those things. So I'd be interested to know kind of what you attribute your growth to and some of the things you've done along the way to make that growth more rapid.
Yeah, 100%. Great question. So, I guess like taking them back, right? So I kind of started really investing into the business in October of 23. And that's when I really started to work on like my YouTube thumbnails, YouTube intros, titles, all that kind of stuff to kind of help see that. And really like diving into to that and kind of looking at how I can grow a specific aspect of it. So to me, I liked YouTube because the numbers are all there. You can see them, like everybody can see them. And you can see the drastic change in all of it, right? So, and it's with the podcast, you can make long form and maybe cut it up or do something like the video content, I think was like really valuable. So I started investing basically some money into an editor and a guy to help me with titles and thumbnails with all that, help me do a little bit of research and all that. I think the biggest thing for me and the kind of the biggest awakening was like, you know, I'm getting all these great guests on my podcast. I'm growing, like, you know, people are trying to help me out, but I don't feel like I'm utilizing as much of what I could be doing. And somebody actually approached me. I was pretty close to being like, dude, I'm posting these things on YouTube. I'm getting like, you know, less than 100 views on every video. Like, what am I doing here? And I would be getting big guests and I wouldn't even be itching towards 1,000. So I'm like, what is going on here? I know other people do it. Like, how can I help? Or how can I continue to grow my stuff? And I realized like that aspect of it wasn't super scalable for me to just dive into it when I still have a full-time job and all that kind of stuff. Like editing takes a lot of time. So I think for me, I realized like, okay, what am I good at in my business and what can I outsource very easily? And I just need to pay for it. I need to figure out somebody who can prove their skills. And, you know, I've had some people kind of approach me to help for little things here or there. And then when they help, I, you know, usually pay them a little bit, but not like fully what they're asking for the first month or two, just kind of like, you know, hey, I've got, you know, a lot of expenses now. So you got to prove yourself a little bit and like money will come basically. That's kind of how I've worded it. And those people have come along and helped me get some clips going, helped me, you know, kind of doing all that stuff. So I think, you know, my advice from just not only content stuff, but just from a business aspect itself is like everybody tries to take in your business and be like the jack of all trades to do everything. And, you know, initially you have to do that, right? But as you grow and as you get more, you know, money, some funds kind of start to come in, reinvest all that into your business as much as you can initially before kind of taking it off and going for it, you know, full time, because then you want to have a choice basically where it's like, you know, this makes like sense. This is stupid for me to keep working another full-time job the way that this is going. And that's where I'm kind of trying to position it for myself is like, you know, I'm making so much money that sounds conceited, but basically like the business is growing so much and, you know, I would be dumb to not take this chance and just go for it now full time. And I think that that's like, no matter what your business is, you want to kind of set yourself in a position where it's like, okay, you know, kind of start reaching some check marks, reaching some points and kind of keep it growing. And then as, you know, you get farther down the line, you invest in it, you get some other people kind of helping, then it's like, okay, well, what else am I going to do here? Like, it doesn't make sense for me to keep going to this 9-to-5 job or, you know, working some gigs thing, whether it's like Uber or whatever to kind of help, you know, put the meals on the table. Let's just double down and like keep my head down for a couple months. Cause you'd be really surprised what you can do in 6 months to a year to kind of help your business grow. But I think a big thing is not being afraid to invest in your business and don't be afraid to make mistakes. When you make a mistake, just sit back and like look at it, be like, okay, learn from it. And, you know, from there, you know, you're still early. So nothing's going to be super catastrophic. So you can figure out another, you know, way to get around that and improve your business for the long run.
Yep. So then when it comes to the business model itself, I mean, a lot of what media companies do is, you know, run off of advertising money. You get some of that if you're large enough from YouTube, then you have to figure out, you know, do I partner with someone else to send me ads to read, or do I go out and find it myself, or is someone, you know, paying me to promote their product, just seeking me out? How have some of those things materialized for you so that you kind of can start thinking, hey, I can just focus on Green Candle as opposed to my current job?
Yeah. So initially it was me all reaching out. But you know, as I mentioned a little earlier, I'm here in Nashville. So I've kind of like invested in myself to come to a lot of these conferences to network with people and meet with them in person. And I've been doing that for the past like 2.5-3 years as well. So with that, right, like people now recognize me because I've gone to the conferences, like a lot of the big name people, they all go to the same conferences. So you can kind of put yourself in front of people. So I think networking is a big aspect of it. And then, you know, people, once they network and they kind of know who you are, they follow along a little bit, right? And so when you start investing some more of your money into it and they see the grind, they see, you know, the growth kind of coming from it, I think then, you know, people are more likely to reach out to you. But initially, I mean, like I have 3 great sponsors now. I spoke with all of them, you know, previously, just kind of like mentioning like, hey, I'm looking for them. I got, you know, Stampseed, Foundation and Bitcoin Trading Cards. So shout out to those guys for helping it out. And then, you know, other opportunities kind of come up from there. I'm making some content for Bit Refill here in Nashville. So shout out to them. You know, you guys can use promo code Green Candle for all of those things. You know, like initially it's a lot of people just reaching out and not being afraid to ask, right? And so for me too, you know, I got lowballed a lot when I would approach people for sponsorships and things like that. So initially I took some of them because, you know, but you got to realize like throughout this, what fits best for your business. So that sponsorship model, you know, what are good sponsors that you really feel passionate about, you feel good about, you know, promoting their product, the people, all that kind of stuff. And then on the flip side of things too, like who do you not like to work with? What is like, you know, are there things that, you know, somebody said that kind of rubbed you the wrong way and just, you know, you have the freedom of choice there. So, I mean, I have that as like a revenue model, of course, like YouTube, I get some, as well. And then I have merch too. So I've partnered with some great people in the Bitcoin space. I'm rocking a hat and a pullover here. So the HODL shop there, they were kind enough to help me make some designs for that. So, yeah, I've been selling some of that stuff. So that's basically how I'm making money, but eventually, you know, I want to potentially create my own product, not quite sure what it is 100% just yet, but I think that's going to be, down the line or something down the future, where, you know, I just kind of continue to grow and then, the growth and, yeah, see where it goes, man. Be adaptable. That's the cool part about being an entrepreneur. You never know what's going to pop up.
So maybe to finish out today, I do want to get to you about how to take advantage of in-person events. You know, when this goes live, this will be, you know, it'll be during the Bitcoin conference. Most people who usually listen to the podcast who are there probably won't hear it until after the fact. The people who are listening probably aren't at the conference. But in the future, they might go to a conference and you've clearly figured out how to take advantage of these events, how to get the most. You've already mentioned networking. What are some recommendations you have for people listening to this on how they can maybe get more involved, especially with the IRL events?
Yeah. So I say go to your local meetups. I shout out to Bitcoin Bay. I go to a lot of them. People are always willing to help you, especially in the Bitcoin space. Like I cannot stress that enough. I went to some conferences for like the fiat jobs. You know, usually networking, people are more open to talk to you because that's why they're there, right? So like people are open to talk to you at the Bitcoin conference. If you run into some people who are kind of standoffish, get rid of them. Don't worry about it. It's just one person on the board, right? So, you know, so all you got to do is just go and approach people, right? Like, hey, you know, Brandon, hey, Josh, like, how's it going? Like, I've listened to the show. It's great. You know, big fan, whatever. Like, who's not going to like that, right? I mean, go up to Preston, Lawrence Lepard, all these guys, like, hey, you know, I really enjoy your content. Like, thank you. You know, people like enjoy hearing those things. And even if it's nobody that you really know, just when you sit down at the lunch table or getting a meal or something like that at the conference, there's all these tables. Just sit down, just be like, hey, What do you do in this space? Why are you here? You know, people are always open to talk about that stuff. I mean, just ask some questions about people, about themselves. When you the person driving the conversation is always the one asking the questions, right? I mean, that's why the interview style works, because, you know, Josh is over here asking me questions, kind of driving me where to go. And so when you do that, people really enjoy it, especially when it's about themselves. So just ask some questions. And then from there, ask, hey, you know, this was a great conversation. I'd love to follow up, you know, following this conference. What's the best way to contact you? Because everybody's got their Twitter. Everybody's got, you know, something else, like whatever on social media. So ask about an email, Telegram, or, you know, Signal, or just straight up text message, depending on the person. Like you'll find out real quick what they kind of like offer up, and you'll get a vibe of like what other contact method they have, because those methods I found are usually a lot easier to get a hold of people than anywhere else. So yeah, I usually ask for like somebody's email or whatever, because you could tweet at all these big guys with 100,000 followers as much as you want, but you know, you'll never really be able to reach them unless you catch them on a good day. So I'm not saying you can't, but it is more difficult to do it that way. So utilizing the in-person stuff to just be like, hey, you know, this is who I am, you know, I'm looking to do this, whether it's interview or I'm looking to get into the mining space. Like, do you mind if I have 30 minutes of your time either here or, you know, after the fact where we set a meeting and we can, you know, discuss what you did to get to your journey? Like, what would you look for somebody who's like hiring? And then, you know, all these kind of things, whatever aspect you're looking for at these events, you can find it, and you can find somebody who's very open to help you reach your goals. Like, everybody's going to really want to do that. So, you know, and it's like just you being in person to these in real life events, IRL events, is just another aspect of people showing like, okay, this person means business because they're here, they're dedicating that you could be anywhere in the world and you decide to go to this Bitcoin conference, this Bitcoin event. So I think, you know, one, interact with your local community, because that'll help you out a lot. Just go to meetup.com and you can, I'm sure, find one. If not, start one, because the networking aspect in your local areas are great. And then, you know, I'd encourage everybody to go to, you know, a Bitcoin conference. I personally like a lot of the more intimate events for networking, because it's easier, and, you know, a lot of people might get overwhelmed to like the big Nashville conference. But in the Nashville conference, like, just don't be afraid. Just be like, hey, how's it going? You make eye contact with somebody. What's up? How are you? You know, you never know. Like, some people will just want to start talking to you, but are just kind of afraid to make the first what's up. So yeah. Just don't be afraid to really, you know, say hi, shake people's hands, go up to people. They're usually pretty open, and everybody's really willing to help. So I would say, yeah, just go for it, man.
Perfect. And final thoughts here on hot takes for the Bitcoin conference. Like I said, this will drop Friday, but, you know, so there'll already be one day of the conference, the other one underway. But hot takes for the conference, things you think will happen that might be a little far out there, but still possible.
Ooh, so, all right. Well, I mean, if I want to make like the most outlandish hot takes here, I'll say RFK like tries to throw his hat back into the ring to the Democratic Party. And that would be kind of his representation at the Bitcoin conference, where he'll be like, hey, you know, if you guys want somebody, because obviously, you know, as we're recording this, Biden dropped out of the race here a day or two ago. And then I think Trump, I mean, that this is a growing rumor, right? As I think Trump is going to announce that the US is going to have some sort of Bitcoin strategy. And I think it's going to be utilizing it as a reserve asset. And then I think that'll make Bitcoin kind of shoot off and take off here. So I think those are the biggest two things for the conference that I think is like a hot take. And I think prior to that, Max Keiser, and maybe it's not a hot take, but Max Keiser is going to go off on Trump because he's been talking a lot about Bukele. So I think that's going to be a firecracker of a panel. And I think like great things are going to come out of it for a bunch of people individually too. So I think those are kind of like my three takes. RFK to the Democratic Party, he's going to try to throw his hat in the ring. Trump to announce Bitcoin as a reserve currency or reserve asset for the US. And Max Keiser going off on Trump like probably 30 minutes or an hour before Trump's talk. So
All right. Yeah. Well, folks, you heard it here first. Brandon, thank you so much for your time today. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, man. Thanks so much for having me. And everybody, smash that like and subscribe button. Give Josh a follow. Join him wherever he is in his journey. And so, Josh, thanks so much, man.
Well, friends, it's a wrap. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Business Bitcoinization Show. If you want to reach out to either me or Brandon, you can find those links down in the show notes. And be sure to follow Brandon on YouTube and X. As always, keep building, keep growing, and until next time, keep living and leading well.